نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
healthy. Only time it becomes dangerous when the mother got some type of blood disease, some type of, you know, if it's just starvation, the baby will drain everything it can from the mother and come out healthy. That's the defense mechanism that takes place in the human body. Prepare you that men and women are, by nature, going against each other. Thank you very much. They developed them because they have come to the conclusion and have made it public that human beings have the power to grow their own bones. It was on the news the other night. Reanimation. Also, they grew an ear on a rat. A human ear. I showed the pictures of them. If you guys don't want the video, they have a human ear they grew on a rat. They're reanimating tissues. Now, years ago, when I said to people that the reason why we as the Wapians keloid is because when we were gods, we could grow ourselves. And that's why they made the statement, the Greeks took it, that Ra masturbated and created himself. And what they were really trying to say is that he had the power to split his own cell. And that cell is nothing but a daughter cell. Once one cell animal that has the protein in it enough to split and make two cells and then multiply into a living thing. That's what they were saying. The ancient gods had the power themselves. They were talking about the germination in the dolphin. Everybody hears about the dolphin. Have you ever looked at the word dolphin? You find what it means? Huh? Dolphin means womb. The fish, the dolphin, the word means womb, like the womb of the mother. Right? And what's that word? Thank you. You always correct me on that word. Vital fertilization. That's when you take the cell of one animal and put it into another in order to transport it to someplace else and then remove it and re-inject it for artificial insemination for cloning or procreation. Reproduction, thank you. Procreation happens when those two things are now on this planet together and they can come together and do it themselves. So the ancient masters that transported you here, they did it in the dolphin. That's why it's called the dolphin. They took the seeds there on Mars and injected it in the dolphin. And then they transported the dolphin here to the seeds while the seeds here were still incapable of supporting your kind of life because they were boho and toho, boys and doctors. And thus you lived in the waters first. Then the gods came to check on you. And the spirit or the wind or the breath of God moved upon the face of the waters. It came after you had already been placed in the water and watched them germinate. And then removed those cells after they had altered this and built the great city of light. Thus the gods said, let there be light. And the great city of light was the city of Ur of Chaldea. the word light in your Hebrew Bible, where it says, let there be light, is four. Same word used for Chaldea, but in Chaldea is where those, what lived? Reptilians lived, and they bred you with them. That was for survival. Those of you that had large enough gills, when the flood came, brrr, you died right in the water. Human beings, some of them taken in caves, caverns on the planet Earth, survived. And others died. Chileans also died. And that's why they say, well, one of the oldest living animals on the planet, mammals, are crocodiles, right? Turtles, frogs. And they say Ra or Ray had the power to transform himself into a frog, alligator. So you'll find alligator deities in Egypt. Your man stand there, he's a man. Then he has an alligator tail and an alligator mouth. There we go. Right? Those were your primordial patterns. This is why they call them primal. Listen to the word. Prime means what? Primal. First and foremost. That's the same thing like primitive. When they call you primitive, they're not insulting you, they're complimenting. Primitive means prime. Primitive, the best piece. They say, give me the prime piece of steak.
Right.
No fat. Animals are fat. You follow? When they did this science, and I can give you a list of Egyptian titles, names, it's all right in place when you see how Geb, Nut, Nia, Nun, all that. Nun was that fourth. And Nun, as found in the Quran, is the whale. Noon. It says, Noon, what color am I born? What am I yesterday? Remember that one?
Yeah.
And they have a letter there amongst the letters, and it just says, Noon, you ask the Muslim. What does that Noon mean, nigga? The Noon represented the Egyptian deity, Noon, which is the male of the female part, Nuit. You follow that? Part of the eight families of that reed, which you'll give out in time, right? You see them in one of the books, but in time I'll make it clear. And it represented the whale, and the dolphin is a whale, a mammal, who once walked on land. Approved. Well, the dolphin and the whale from the same family. Yeah, they're all the same family. They once walked on land. Dolphins can speak, can communicate, can communicate. They think, they rationalize. Follow? These beings had a transport you. They became the fish gods. The Chilean people worshipped them. Dagon. Mermaids. Man-maids. These are their gods. And that's why they had the original symbol of Christianity was a fish. And then you had the ancient Egyptian deity of Satan. His name is Apep. A-P-E-P. Or Pappas. You ever read about him before? The same thing as Pope. Same thing as Pope, and that's why he wears the coat again. The fish. And all other symbols you'll find. Fish. And all the seals around the country. The thing of the fish. They make it look like a flower. These are all part of them acknowledging the reptilian gods who came here. Before they came here, the Netu or Anunnaki, Netu in Egypt, Anunnaki in Sumeria, bred a being, a gray, who could go from planet to planet because they could survive an atmosphere that you couldn't. And you was predestined to be what they refer to as the Adama project, right? Ruled by these three higher deities, Atun, Atun, Amun, it's about the ray, ray principle, which is the rainbow project again, atmosphere, an animal that lives, a sea creature that lives out the water, is what you really are. You follow that? Well, these people, they had to send to create this species of grays first, because they would scout things out for them. And that's what they're calling the Adam project. And that's the state they find, or have found, for Mars. is a replica of the Adam. Adam was also from Kuthite seed, who also descended out of reptilians and from the Sirius star constellation. The word Sirius, which is Sept, like the first three letters in September in ancient Egypt, right? S-E-P-T, that's the Egyptian way of saying Sirius. Sirius in the language you use is biblical for Kirish, which is hairy. Sirius, look it up. And it represents the hair. You didn't have hair on your body at one time, as we said. No reptilians have hair on your body. You became a reptilian with hair. If you go back in Egypt, you see they didn't have any hair. But the shaggy, that they were called, were big. And they were with the troglodytes. So if you look up the name Mount Seir, where the Edomites were, in your Bible, and go in, I'm quite sure most of you have a computer, go to Mount Seir, you're going to see troglodytes in there. And then look up the word Seir, like in Esau or Esau, and you see hair. So you're looking at reptilians who grew here, a new species. Human beings. A product of the gods, a replica of themselves. Some were put here for labor, some were put here for reproduction. Those who put here for labor are workaholics. Those who put here for reproductive purposes are just labor. And you do find that among people that work, and people that just choose to not work regardless of what you say,
yeah,
just a bum.
That's right.
It's true. They were not given the gene to want to work. They're bums. If they could get away with doing nothing but sitting out looking at television and eating, that's exactly what they would do. It's bad, but it's true. Some people were created to be buffers for aggression. These people are your clumsy people. They're supposed to die. They're supposed to fall out of fucking planes. It's in them, because you see people do things like, why are you doing this shit? Why are you loading the gun and looking down the barrel and shit? You walk away. You know, these people do it, they get shot by their own gun. Anybody right there? And you're mad at him for being dumb. He was bred to be dumb. I mean, the way they would fight, if Ramesses was fighting the invasion Hittites, he would send a fleet of retarded people in uniforms. But all these retarded people with uniforms. This army of retards, they would decide to get rid of all of the people in their kingdoms with Down syndrome. They didn't bother trying to cure them. Now, this shouldn't offend anybody, but does, you might have Down syndrome. But they would send them out front. And while the Hittites see the army in the uniforms and the chariots probably going the wrong direction, somebody riding up with the skeleton, but they would attack them. And while they're engaged in fight with them, rabbits with circle come in. They didn't care how many retards died, because they was a burden to what they considered a healthy society. Now that sounds cruel to you, but if you had to run a retarded school, you'd be figuring out how to send them to war also. But in that process of taking that mammal and mixing it with that reptilian, they had defective genes. This is why some of the most, let's think about this here. Most of the minor, I'm trying to do it without giving it away. I'll just say it. Most of the sicknesses or illnesses that humans have are surfaces. The worst are skin diseases. Cancer, almost all of it are warts. It always attacks the skin. You follow? And it starts working its way. They'll say, well, what's wrong with your body? You're nervous, and that's why your skin is breaking out. You know, your doctors will tell you, well, you have acne because you have nervous problems. But it's always from the skin. Why? Because when they had to combine the reptilian and the mammal, the scale and the flesh didn't work. Well, so you look at your hand, you don't see skin. You see pores. If you look down close enough, you see it's shaped like little scales. You just, in between those scales is where the hair grows out. Now look at your hand right around here. You see a little crystal, little diamond-shaped thing? Well, snakes have these diamond-shaped things on their back. That's scales. But your scales are soft. And that's why they've always had a problem with, does a shrimp have scales or is it a shell? And I would tell them, a shrimp has scales. If it was a shell, the whole thing would be covered, like a crab is inside of a shell. A turtle is inside of a... Look at his turtle again. A turtle's inside of it. It has scales. His back is broken up into sections. Over time, they've hardened, but you look at it, you're seeing... You're not looking at a shell. Now go back and look at a crab again. Now look at a lobster. A lobster is part shell and part... There's a metamorphosis here. There's scales with hairs going between them, and that was a combination of the mammal and the reptile that you are. So it's inside of you and the people that surround you, which is getting to the point where I know y'all travel a long way in the sun setting. Now, pairs are set, right? There are disagreeables. There are seeds of Cain, and there are seeds of the reptilians that survived the flood. This is the message to bring back amongst you. All that, these people are starting to come surface now, the same way that God in you is starting to express itself, the demon in them is starting to express itself. You're going to find people in the tab just bugging out, cursing everybody out for no apparent reason. Nobody can't be a nigga that lost their mind. Me and you have been friends all this time, all of a sudden nothing I do is right. What is making your nature rebel against me all of a sudden? You have guys you hung out with, you're your buddy, and all of a sudden you're the enemy. Like, I can't recollect exactly what I did.
I want to go see these also. still you ask me what I want to see. Well, if you know damn well, you already made up your mind what you want to see.
That's the first stages of it. And it only grows and gets worse. And best friends and lovers become enemies. Because you are not supposed to be brought together. Because it says, whomsoever the Yahweh or the Nib, that's the Hebrew word for Yahweh, Nib, brings together. If you brought yourself together, you didn't go before the priesthood of men, the fertility deities, so they can tell you by looking at your calibration, are you all compatible? If you didn't do that, then you're going to have to live with whatever comes out of the relationship. And most people don't do that. They go out and find somebody they are attracted to. Someone who has something in life like a big bouquet. And that's what they base it on. Not on the person's personality, not on the family, the genes, the nature of the person. They say, let's just socialize for a little while. See what kind of person you really are. And see how you react when I say things you don't like. And now, when it comes down to turning oneself inside out, what's inside this? Our relationship might not work no more. We might become enemies. But we were once lovers. We were once best friends. It doesn't have to be male or female. It could be best friends, associates. It could be, you know, father and son. All of a sudden, I don't understand you. Who are you? You literally say that. All of a sudden, what are you? Who are you now? Where is the person I met before? What'd you do to my friend? What did you do to my husband? What did you do to my wife? Where's she at? I know she, I see the body there, but hell, where, that's not her. What did you do? Kill her? Gave you walk in or something? Now, you be looking for a better solution than that. You transformed into the devil. You don't want to say that. See, like, you start off by saying, our relationship is changing. Something's wrong. That's how it starts. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I feel different. You know what I'm saying? And she said, what? You got somebody else? That's your mind. Always. First line, what, there's somebody else? Yeah, somebody else. This the real person I like. And yeah, I don't know this person, this is somebody else, you, the new you. You know what I mean? Yep. I'm saying in your transformation period, you got to take that in consideration. Your love life is going to change. Your outlook on love is going to change. Who you love is going to change. Who you like is going to change. You're going to start seeing the real ugly side of people. When you get that inclination, please don't get mad at me, because whenever I tell the truth, people get mad at me, they like me a lot. Tell you the truth. You get that inclination, get the hell out. Don't wait until it gets dangerous. If you sense there's something wrong, that person does not do the right thing. I like him. I like her. They do not do the right thing. Better get the hell out while you can. I'm not telling nobody to break up your relationship. Don't blame that shit on me, because I'm not in your house. I don't know what's going on. But like Bob Marley said, the hat fits, goddammit. Let them wear it. So then, if you see it now, you better run while you can. Because they're going to transform. Human beings are transforming. Come back towards, I told you yesterday about ascending and descending beings. Some are going back towards demons. And they will put the role on them. They will flatter you. When they see you begin to question them, they'll go buy you that box of candy, figuratively speaking. You know what I'm saying? They'll suggest that thing you want to do. Flatter your ass when they see you starting to see through their crap. But they must keep people under control. That's what renders one of God. Control. And God does not have to be good. I said that. I said whoever or whatever is in control is God. And a man rules the relationship to the point where the woman has no real say-so. He becomes God. And there's only one thing opposite to God, the devil. And eventually, anytime she rebels against him, he will come down on her, or vice versa, as if he's talking to a devil, yelling and screaming and cursing and yelling, you know what I mean? Because you're now wrestling against the principality of darkness. Thank you.
with Noah, who, how did Cain's seed survive after the flood with Noah? Who did they come through?
Because Cain went where?
Cain went to the land of Nod.
And what was there?
The
reptilians. Kuthites, that was a city of all wicked people. And the rulers there was Dagon.
Also, when the flood came, they lived.
They survived. Because they are sea creatures. That's right. Komodo dragons survived. That's how it's mine. Funny about God. God destroys everything but the fish.
Right. Because I remember you saying
that. Maybe he likes fish.
You have said we were tumbling jeans.
Mm-hmm.
As when you thought you were tumbling jeans going back to the story, mm-hmm. if you were kind of through your day, you feel, because as you sense that happening,
mm-hmm.
is it like...
That's good. You said that.
Is it like a person when they're having a baby, is that the point when it could stop?
No. You can... The reason why that... The ancient ones created prayer, and they said prayer at specific times is at the heights. See, that's why Islam came with the five prayers. Prior to that, they had three prayers: sunrise, high noon, and sunset. They was doing that with the three changes, the tumbling of the human body. That's the three points where your body goes. The meanest R is in the morning. That's your emotion. The next stage is high noon. Because of the heat.
Right.
And then in the evening, you tend to be more tranquil. Because whatever you had to do is over. You know, you think about a dinner, movie, or television in bed. You know what I'm saying? That's the next day. So they set prayer around your tumbling genes, your emotional changes. And that's why in Tafu, we pray at sunrise or whenever you get up. You know what I mean? It's not where, and Islam says, you better be before 5 o'clock. Tell us, don't make you mad at the law. I'm dying. I feel like getting up and putting cold water in my nose in the middle of November. You know, no one as a Muslim used to be mad as I would, and I would be bombing. I was mad as that. Like, I'm trying to get up in the morning, staggering, and feel like this. Missing the prayer rug and falling asleep. But I realized that was the devil, another one of the devil's religions. That was to make you mad at God. Because that's what Islam does. It makes you mad when you, okay, Ramadan. Don't eat. Put me in a city where there's food. People are walking by, especially in Ramadan, look like niggas are walking by with steps and not It's made to make you mad. If you look at all the restrictions, it takes away from your divinity expressing itself by being in control of yourself. So we say, pray at sunrise or when you get up. But the times that you want to get up early morning, you feel very spiritual, and you want to, and then the other times you're tired. You get up at 10 o'clock, then I'll make my top goal now. Make it between the noon, we have a whole cycle up there. So somewhere between this area, I can't do it. If you can't do it, you just can't do it that day. Nobody goes, oh, you ain't going to shoot it. You ain't lost 7 bowel cups here. You got to take it long, like you lose points if you miss a lot. Oh, shit, you missed 4 bowel cups. You're definitely going to hell. So that's the difference. But your body, you know your emotional changes. You know what I'm saying? And remember, as you get older, male and female, you get more cranky. Because you're looking down the road of reality. And the road of reality is, I'm really going to die, huh? That's the road of reality. Well, I'm going to die. You realize you're getting old. It's not funny no more. You can't run as far as you want to. You can't do all the things you wish you could do. And then you realize all the things. When you was a kid, when people was telling you to stop trying to grow up so fast for you and go live a child's life, you're like, you're so young girl, so busy trying to put toilet paper in there and just trying to grow up. Walk around. And your people said, you better keep your child. Stay a child as long as now you're as too old to be a child. You're like, shit, I wish I would have listened and played more Monopoly and more Skellies and rode little bikes more. And well, but now I wanted to hang out with the girls and get permed and go to parties, look for boys, and you know what I mean? And you chunked out, you took a big chunk out of your life that you cannot get back. You can mess around in youth and act like an old person, but you can't mess around in old age and act like a youth. You know what I'm saying? Your little kid can go, I got an old brother go.
Right.
Let me see an old man get on a track and run around there 5 times. He'd be dead in the motherfucker. It doesn't work that way. So the reason why older people appear to be more cranky and more moody is because of the realization. All you people are still beneath 30. You haven't come to the realization yet. When you get to 40, then you start saying, man, I'm going to die, huh? You really, every now and then, think, ooh, God. You know, right now, you're so young, you probably haven't even thought of that yet. Oh, you know, you might say to yourself, well, one day we'll die. But when you get 40, you'll be saying, 40, 50, 60, shit, 20 years from now, I'll be dead. Or if not, I should be dead, I don't be able to do nothing.
Right.
And that haunts you periodically, and that makes you pretty cranky. for people, especially young people. That's why I say old people don't like young people, because we look at you as you're wasting all your life. Sitting around being an old person and say, I have to tell young couples, go have some fun and shit. You don't even have the idea of going to have fun and go to a party with a million other people. I'm saying, you and your wife go somewhere and be together, walk together, do something together. My life, I'm always around people, so I've learned, I just give up on being alone. But in most cases, you know, you got a chance to be on these two guys and develop a relationship, as I call it, to create a box of jewels. Jewels that your ass gonna need when you get older. If you don't have some beautiful things to reflect back on, tell them, Bob, when you and your wife start having them clashes, if you don't have no beautiful things to look back on, things that y'all did together, them little things. I mean, even if it's just looking over Niagara Falls without the desire to push anybody. Looking together, you know what I mean? Those things, if you don't store those things up, when those winds of life come, you don't have nothing to keep your relationship from just getting uprooted and pulled away. It happens every day. You know what I'm saying? When age is going to affect you a great deal. As you get older, you start getting, becoming a monster. And most women push people away from them. And they don't know it. They're like, I don't know why no man don't want me. It's not that no man don't want you. Your women's moods change so much as they get old, it's hard to tolerate them. I mean, they're saying the same thing about us. Just men's moods change, it's hard to tolerate them. I can only speak from toleration as a male. I can't speak from toleration as a female because I can't imagine what she's thinking. But as a man, I know part of our problem with women is as they get older and they don't want to face that they can, you know, that they're, what they consider losing their youth, they think, oh, they've got themselves through media thinking all beauty is in youth. And that's all crap. Beauty is not in youth. That's the psychological profile created for marketing. Because they sell more stuff to young people. Man, I go buy a pair of socks now. I don't have to sit up there. I wear white socks all the time. I ain't going to bother with no black socks to get athlete's feet. Man, I worry about another problem. I was going to go get some years ago, man. You know, you wear this stuff. I love this socks. I said, sell it. This is match. Everything is matching. Meanwhile, I got getting out of the league feet. As you get older, you don't really care. And sometimes I go to the closet or the drawer to get a sock and I say, damn, this is a damn sock. Shit, they both white. When I was young, I never would have did that before. They had to be the same sock. I would have went outside and went and bought some socks and came back. And if I'm saying, you do change. You put less value on things.
Subtle kind of way. Let me do this again now. Jesus makes a statement in the Bible, before Abraham, I am. Right? Now, when we get there, I'll start again. Before Abraham, I am. Okay? Was Abraham the father of Judaism? No. Abraham was a Chaldean. He worshipped a sun god called Mazda, Ahura Mazda, which later on became known as Zoroastrianism. Or the Babylonian, or the god called Shemesh, which you'll see on the Gilgamesh epics. You see the deity going to worship the god Shemesh, and the word in Hebrew for the sun in the Bible is still Shemesh. That same deity is still carried over to this Bible, showing that
Psalms 8:4-11
was a continuation of an ongoing story, but Abraham was not a Hebrew. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Abraham was a Hebrew.
14:13.
But he was not the beginning of the Hebrew religion. Because they say in Genesis chapter 13, they called him a Hebrew because he was in the plains of memory. Mm-hmm. And that just meant Ivri or Ivri to cross over. There was no religion. Abraham didn't have a religion. So now, when the spirits came down in the form of men and met Abraham at his tent, were they walking up to an Israelite, a man who had read the Bible, the Torah, the Old or New Testament? Couldn't have read the New Testament because the New Testament came way after. Did Abraham have in his possession the Old Testament?
No,
he didn't. He had what they referred to as the Sfaha, or sacred pages. But those sacred pages wasn't Judaic teachings. There wasn't Israelite teachings. And there wasn't Christian teachings, because there was no such thing as a Torah until Moses. So what kind of Sfaha or sacred pages was Abraham holding in his hand? We call it the Holy Tablets. And we have translated from Quran, and we as the ancient Egyptian Church of Christ, or some people call it the Nawabians, we have that tablet with those stories in it to tell you all those stories that would exist. We translate them for you if you dare to find the truth out. Again, Abraham was not the father of Judaism, not the father of Islam, not the father of Christianity. Abraham was a fire worshiper. And his father killed her and then made idols and worshiped idol gods. And it's in the Bible.
Genesis 31:19.
Before Abraham, I am what Jesus is claiming.
John 8:58.
So Jesus existed in a time before Christianity, Judaism, or Islam. Right? So he existed amongst gods. Because he was there since the beginning as God. So he existed amongst gods, but before Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So what religion did Jesus belong to? If he existed in a religious environment in the presence of God Almighty amongst the heavenly hosts, but before religion was created as we know, before the monotheistic religions came into existence, there was no Judaism, there was no Christianity, there was no Islam. Jesus was back there with Abraham, or whose name was then Abram, the Chaldean from Ur, and the word Ur,
Genesis 11:31,
which the city was named after, what they worshipped. So Jesus was amongst them. Jesus was one of them. Jesus was in a spirit form, and then he came in the flesh. Jesus was, as they would call, an Adonai. He was a Yahweh, and his name says it, Yahshua. Yahshua is his name, not Jesus or Jesus. Yahshua. And that Yahshua is Jehovah saves. Jehovah is the salvation. But the Jah or the Yahweh, who we have proven comes in flesh, and that Tammuz was one of them, was the group he was a part of, the Yahwehans. The Yahwehans are the sons of the Elohim. And Jesus was amongst the Elohim who became a Yahweh and then came to earth as an Adonai. And then in the Bible and New Testament, we refer to him as a Kurios.
Matthew 7:22.
So, before Abraham I am is a confession that Jesus existed before the religion. Moses gave birth to the Torah. Moses received the Ten Commandments. Correct.
Exodus chapter 20.
And oftentimes I have questioned because Genesis is not in the first person singular, but rather in the third person. Let me read what I mean by that. Genesis chapter 1 could read, in the beginning I created the heavens and the earth. You follow that? Because it would be in the first person if it was coming from God. You understand me?
Yeah.
But it doesn't. So God didn't write this book. It was written about God. But you say, no, Moses went up into the mountain to receive the commandments from God. And God wrote it in his own hand. Correct. Let's see what the commandment says. Now let's go and see the experience of Moses. And you know, we're going to find the experience of Moses and this law in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. And it reads in the 11th verse, and the Lord spake unto Moses, Phanim is the Phanim, face to face. But here we got Lord again, Yahweh, the being capable of personifying in human form.
Yeah.
Lord spoke to him face to face as a man. And the word is Ish, right there. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. Ria is the word. As he speaketh to his friend. And he turned Shub again into Mahana, the camp. But his sheriff or servant Joshua, who was the Ben, son of Nun or Nahar, the young man, Mush departed not out of the Ohel tabernacle. Now that's what the Hebrew inserts. Now let me read it so it becomes clear. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, which is another name for Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. For God is now speaking to Moses face to face in Exodus 33. Exodus 33:20 says, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Let's go again. Exodus 33:20. And he said, thou shall not roo see, that's roo see, my face, for there is no Adam man see me and live. So now Moses is talking to God face to face in Exodus 33:11, but in Exodus 33:20, God after that said, you can't see my face and live. Now you say, did Moses see his face? According to this.
Yes.
Now, can a man see his face and live?
No.
You know why that can happen? Because if we go back to Exodus chapter 7, verse 1 again,
right,
we'll find out why Moses was able to look in the face of God and not die. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord, a Yahweh, said unto Moshe, or Moses, see, I have made thee a Elohim. I have made you a God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
To Pharaoh. And Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. So now that was back in 7. We get to 33. Moses could look God face to face. He was prepared to look God face to face. He was given a divine presence. So he can look God face. But if any other man had seen God's face, face to face, he would have died according to the same chapter on the 33rd verse and the 20th chapter. Now we go on to see why the first person singular is not used in Genesis, because this was not the book of God by God. This was a book about God written by different people. Collections of tablets that predate your Bible. You want to find out what Moses got from God? Where's it at? Exodus what?
34:28.
Read it to us, sister.
And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40
there with the Yahweh, okay, not the Elohim, okay? 40 days and 40
nights.
So this Lord identifies days and nights. So he's on this part of the universe, beneath the sun, moon, and stars, the things given to us as signs of times on this planet. This Lord is with him there within the time frame of things that we know. Go ahead.
He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the ten commandments.
He wrote upon the tablets, right? They have tables in here, but tablets. He wrote upon them. Moses was up there fasting.
Mm-hmm.
He's not eating or drinking.
Right.
He's amongst this Lord or these deities.
Mm-hmm.
And now it says he what?
He neither ate nor drank bread, and he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant.
Who wrote upon the tablets?
Mm-hmm.
Moses wrote upon the tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Lord wrote upon the tablets. Mm-hmm. You follow that?
Yeah, that's right.
But either way, this is when the Lord is writing the law of Moses. This is God's law, and what does it say? Verse 27, and the Lord said unto Moses, and Yahweh double said to Moshe. He spoke to Moses and told Moses, what? Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words have I made a covenant with thee and with Israel. You see that? It says that God told who?
Moses.
To
write
himself. Did God write the book? Who is the hand writing then? How can Moses be called God and writing the book? Because Exodus chapter 7 tells you that he was made a God. Now we move on to Exodus chapter 19. And we're going to see in Exodus chapter 19 that in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Verse 2. This is 19 chapter Exodus verse 2. For they were departed from Rephidim. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And were come to the desert of Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And had pitched in the wilderness And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, God. And the Lord, separating it, he went up to the Elohim, but and the Lord, the Yahweh, called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. He separated the house of Jacob from the children of Israel.
Right.
Say this to the house of Jacob, that's Jacob's 12 sons, and all the rest of the children of Israel.
Yeah.
Okay, watch. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and they're talking about one group of Egyptians, because here you'll find the word Mizraim, that's one dynasty, one group, and that was those Hyksos.
Right.
And that's when they allowed the Canaanites to come in and conquer them. And they let the Hyksos get beat out and chased out of Egypt. That is not the original Hamites or Chemites, the black skin Egypts. That is not the Cushites or Aksumi or Ethiopians. This is one group, Mizraimites. And if you check your Bible, that group of Mizraimites, as you see in Genesis 10, came out of Israel. They were not the original Egyptians they're talking about here. They're talking about a group of Mizraimites. And Mizraimite was from the sons of Ham. And that would put them in the same line as Adam and Abraham, and not in the line of the Egyptians that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You got your families mixed up. But go ahead and see what it says. And how I bared you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. So now this Elohim told this Yahweh, and he called Moses up into the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on. We go past the 19th and go into the 20th, and here we're going to get. And God spent all these words saying. Now this is it. God spec these words saying. Who did he speak them to?
Moses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what was Moses ordered to do by God? Moses was ordered to write.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you follow this?
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to change what it says. I am the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Yahweh of those Elohims. Because it was a Elohim that told a Yahweh to call on them. I am the Yahweh, or the Jehovah, of those Elohim. I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
I brought you out. Now,
verse 4,
thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. This is speaking in the first person.
Mm-hmm.
Go to verse 5. It literally says, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. I this, I that straight through these commandments.
Mm-hmm.
This was what was given to Moses.
Right.
Not the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
You follow? Not the whole history of Israel. That was recorded from other people's records predating this.
Mm-hmm.
And the Israelites after Jacob,
mm-hmm.
your father, had no law,
right.
Had no doctrine until Moses was born.
Right.
And when Moses was born in Egypt and lived there till he was 40 years old, being educated as Egyptians, given the right to become a human deity, because
mm-hmm.
that's what you have to do. You have to pass through Egypt to become a human deity.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, what about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I say, you're right. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? Told Joseph, get up and take Mary and go down to Egypt. And Jesus was waxed wise or learned while in Egypt and came back and versed the elders in the temple because he came back with that Egyptian knowledge, which made him a son of God. You don't become a son of God until you tap into ancient Egypt. You can't become a son of God while you're still a son of man. And so the law was given to Moses, but that law was the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was saying the Torah.
Right.
The Torah of Moses. We all say it.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, it is the Torah of Moses, but not the Torah of God.
Mm-hmm.
The commandments are the Torah of God, or the Torah or law of God.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is history. And Jesus was, again, I got to go back around.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, before Abraham, I am. Moses was before Israel. Thus, Moses right, was left? Before the law. Moses existed before the law. But Moses had a doctrine, and he was talking to God, but hadn't got a law. No religion was even established yet. So he wasn't the God of Israel, right? He wasn't the God of, let's say, Jacob only. There's many of them here. One says, I am the God of thy father, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. One does say that. One says, I am the God of Israel. One says, I am the Most High God. Another one says, I am the everlasting God. Another one says, I am the all-powerful God. Another one says, I am the all-seeing God. Another one says, I am the all-knowing God. All of these beings collectively make up Elohim, of which Jesus was one, and did come in the flesh.
So the foundation
of our Christian belief is strong. But we are locked in vacuum in time and space and refuse to research. Our preachers, our pastors want to keep us from doing our own investigation. I'm telling you, your soul is at stake. Not his, your soul. You must investigate. Otherwise, you are in a form of a trance. You are under some type of spell, some type of tunnel vision, some form of blindness. You are a zombie. If you go before a reverend, I tell my congregation worldwide, don't believe me. Check it out. Investigate it. Any minute of day, just believe what I say. Just accept what I say. That man is not to be trusted, because the Bible in Matthew 24 tells us many deceivers are going to come. They're going to say he's Christ. They're going to preach about Christ. And Christ is going to say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Because that's all they do. They pretend they're bringing a message. You ain't no preacher if you ain't no teacher. If you a good preacher, then you a good teacher. You open that Bible up and you walk word for word with it. You can jump around and quote. Look at 2 John again, chapter 1, verse 7. Then look at John chapter 4, verse 23. Then look at John chapter 4, verse 24. It said, God is spirit. Pneuma, they use in Greek. And what's that? And what's the next move?
And that they worship him. Must worship him in spirit and in truth.
So now, if we must worship God in spirit, then we can't worship Christ in body. We must accept that Christ has come in the body, has come in the flesh, a representative of God. When you see him, you see God. But we cannot worship him, because Jesus said out of his own mouth, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
John 14:6
To the Father but by me. So Christ came to take us by the hand and walk us across that burning sand, across that rough, rugged terrain of the desert and into the hand of God at that great oasis out there. He was there, the good shepherd.
John 10,
23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. Who can teach us better the principles of life and death but Christ, a willing sacrifice? He taught us that you can die and that you can be resurrected to everlasting life. But he was delivering us. He was a deliverer. He was delivering us to God. He was not saying he is the God, but merely the Son of God. And extended himself into humanity by saying, I am a Son of Man. I am the way to God. I am the truth, the life. And you won't get to God unless you pass through me, is what he's telling you. But John, you know what? You've been confined where you're not even being taught about him. You're being confined to Greek interpretations. Paul and his ideas and principles, who I'm going to do a whole class on, was Paul really a disciple or really a deceiver? Now, Father, you get deceived by interpretation, by translation, by misinformation. And now you don't want to go any further because you're tired. And we're still walking across this desert, but we still got, Christ got to still lead us to God. So we can't get tired. We can't get tired. It's going to get hot in the desert. The sun is going to be beaming down, and we're going to be thirsty. That's it. Thirst. That's another one of the Beatitudes. You see? We're going to be thirsty. Our mouth is going to get dry for God. Our feet are going to burn in them hot sands for God.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to keep the caravan moving.
Yeah.
And who's leading us? Who's the head of the church? Jesus, the head of the church, it says. He's leading us to God, the way, the truth, and the light. No one gets to the Father but by him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they want to teach you. They want to make you think that Jesus is the point on which we're going. That Jesus is the oasis. That we stop at Jesus when Jesus is going to sit on the right-hand side of God. And all of us will sit on his right-hand side. You understand? If we are in Christ. But if we are in ourselves, or if we are in the hands of the devil who deceives us, who stifles our growth by doctrine, by faith, by belief. They tell you about faith. Huh? You cannot survive on faith alone. You must have works. Faith without works is faith in vain, the Bible says. So don't be preaching, you got to have faith. You got to have belief. And that Dr. Malachi says, you should not have faith. And you should not have any belief. And that's not true. That's not what Dr. Malachi teaches. Dr. Malachi teaches, before you know, you must believe it's something there to know.
Right.
And when you get into that, or to motivate you to go toward the truth, you've got to have some faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then but when you get there and you get the opportunity to know, then you no longer need to believe. You no longer need faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know the truth.
Right.
And the truth shall make you free.
John 8:32.
Thank you very much. We can go on down and look at it again. It says here in the Bible, in John's chapter 5, verse 37. Read it for me, sister. John chapter 5, verse 37 says, God's voice.
God's voice was never heard, nor has anyone seen his shape.
Now, Exodus 24:9 says,
34 Israelites saw the God of Israel.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
In one verse, no one never seen him.
Yeah.
In another verse, 74 Israelites did see him. What's wrong with that? Is that a contradiction?
Yeah.
It appears to be a contradiction if you don't know the divine manifestation of the principles of God and the many ways that the God and the gods work. If you can't see the Elohim as a plural, separated from the Yahweh, separated from the Adonai, separated from the Shaddai, separated from the Elion El, separated from the El Roy, separated from the Olum, if you can't see all these different forms of deity manifesting, then you get confused there and you start thinking the Bible contradicts itself. But if you understand what you're looking at, or better yet, overstand what you're looking at now, get up on top of it and look down the way God's supposed to, you're going to see something different there. Read it again.
John 5, verse 37 says, God's voice was never heard, nor has anyone seen his shape. Exodus 24, verse 9 says, 74 Israelites saw the God of Israel.
What must those 74 Israelites have done to see the God of Israel? He had to have gone through Egypt and been raised to the degree of Elohim. And those who did not see God and will not see God and cannot see God is because they never walked through Egypt and looked up and saw Amun-Ra, which our Bible tells us was there at the beginning of the creation of God in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Tells us he was there. And if you don't go there, you won't see that eye, the whole eye seeing. Turn on the back of the dollar bill and look where you see that. Look right back on a $1 bill and flip it behind you and look over there and look down. You see an eye looking down over the pyramid. It's telling you where you're going to meet God. When you finish all the studying here, all this kindergarten information, all this bouncing around with this and who said and I said, all of it's going to take you back to Egypt. And as me and you were talking, archaeologists are uncovering more things about Egypt. Finding out something new every day. How they had helicopters there. Hey, that sounds crazy, but it's been proven now. Helicopters in ancient Egypt. It's on the wall. How they were doing eye operations, tapping into the chromosomes. How they were cloning. How they were alchemists were turning lead into gold. All of this you were doing. How do you explain how you end up in America as a slave with a title like Negro? or colored. When you were the ones who built the pyramids, raised those obelisks, them needles, built the Sphinx, and knew that Sphinx was a symbol of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the symbol of Leo, the constellation in which he was born. You knew the real meaning behind the symbol of Osiris, God of the sky, and Isis, the blessed mother, who became Mary, and her sacred son, Horus, who we know is the real Christ. All we got is a Latin word, Christos, borrowed again from a Hindu word, Krishna. And when you look in the Bible in Greek, the word for Lord is what? Kurios. Right? Now say Lord Christ and use the Hindu, Kurios, Christos. Say it. Kurios, Christos. Say it again.
Kurios, Christos.
Now say Hare Krishna. Say it again.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You're using a Hindu rendition of their deity. You have been tricked. And if you go back and do the research in the Bible, as I'm trying my best to walk you through this Bible, step by step, trying to lead you to the Christ that will lead us to the oasis where God is, where God dwells. We lead us to our salvation. Don't ask me a question. Do the Nawapians believe in the Bible? Do the Nawapians believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? We take it above the word Bible. Holy Bible. Helios Biblis. Helios Biblis. Holy Bible. Helios Heliopolis son. Biblos Papyrus. Papyrus or Papyrus. Helios the son Papyrus. The book of the son Papyrus. Genesis, genealogy, Isis. Look on the cover of it. The Holy Bible, look at it again. Helios Papyrus. The sun papers. The sun records. Because Abraham had those sun records. Because Abraham went down into Egypt and got the sun records. And that's how come he had laws and lived by customs and traditions before the Bible was even given to Moses, as they say. We'll continue this next week.
Thank you.
I say, don't believe me. Check it out. We have a series of tapes on each one of these programs that you can get on CD or cassette. You just write to and ask for them, and they will send them to you. You follow? And you go home and put them in your tape recorder, and you check these quotes out. I want you to say, oh, that Malachi can't be trusted. I don't want to believe in him. He's crazy. He believes all. I want you to say that. And then I want you to open your Bible. And I want you to get in your computer or go to college and open up a computer and get in a Bible software. And I want you to start researching the words and looking at the definitions and find out for yourself, am I the one that's crazy? Or am I the one that's here to break a spell? The spell of Leviathan to lift you out of a state of mind or condition that keeps you from moving to the next level. Is that what I'm here for? And who is really holding you back? And what is their job? And who do they work for? Because they want to keep blinds over your eyes with their hands in your pockets. Mm-hmm. Let's find out. I don't ask for tidings or twists.
That's right.
You know, I just come out and teach.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't ask you, give me this, give me that, give me this. I'm giving to you.
Right.
This is worth more than gold, more than riches. Investigate this. Look into this. Check it out. See if it's true. Visit our store. Go buy the little pamphlet. Whose God is responsible? Is God real? You follow? Find out whether there are three Jesuses in the Bible. Find out where Jesus got educated. Find out about the miracles of the wine. Find out about the cloud that overshadowed Israel. Find out which one of those Egyptians they're talking about that are bad in the Bible. Not all of them. All this is available to you in the Egyptian Church of Christ. All this is available to you if you walk up to a Nawapi and you see someone dressed in black with a fez on. You walk up to them, you follow, and ask them, how can I find my way? Because I want to get on that caravan with Christ. I want to get on that caravan where Christ is the head of the church. Not where the reverend is the head of the church and the pastor is the head of the church. I want to get in that caravan and walk that desert. I don't mind burning my feet. I don't mind my mouth being dry. I don't mind being a little hungry and a little thirsty. Because I know I'm going to get that oasis with God. When I get that oasis with God the Almighty, I'll be lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need. Amen.
Amen.
When you look at the symbol on that brother's face, when we use, that's the symbol of the sun.
We never said rock, but I did say Israel meant ISIS,
rock,
and L years ago, before everybody else was saying it. And I said, oh, we've had a triad amongst us. And I said, even as Muslims, we have a triad. We say, this is Allah, Allah, one, Ar-Rahman, what, two, Ar-Rahim, three. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah al-Rahman ar-Rahim, however you want to pronounce it, to get you through night. It still breaks down to three deities, Allah, Rahman, and Rahim. And you say they're all the same, and I'll say that about every other, God, Son, and Holy Ghost, all the same. Isis, Osiris, Horus, all the same. And in some schools, they put Set. The brother of what? We talked to y'all about that.
Throw that out.
And I'm not even going to tell you. You with me? There's Set. Sometimes called Set in your Bible. And it comes from the word sun set. Or when the sun goes down behind the horizon and it raises up. It's horizon, horizon, comes up, but when it's in the part of the doctrine, they say Set, who is the evil one, because evil, of course, you know, is black. All you need to tell it is teaching your children evil is black, and Set is night, and night is black, and Jesus is light, and Horus is light, and it comes over in the morning, and when the light comes up, that's good, you're still teaching white to black. The father, the brotherhood of Set was the brotherhood of night. Those brothers who protected the pharaohs in the darkness. The so-called Amorites used the same night and fellas. Night, like a Templar. The ones that protect by night. That night came from Set, us. We were the brotherhood of night, the symbol of Anubis or Anubi or Anubis, the black dog, jackal, was one of our symbols. But we protected the dead. We protected the gods when they passed from the world of light into the world of darkness. But they got you living in the reverse. They got you thinking that life is eternal when death is eternal. Life is temple. So we have two brotherhoods. The brotherhood of light and the brotherhood of darkness. They say the brotherhood of darkness, oh, that's Satan, isn't it? Right? But they don't tell you Satan told the truth in the Bible in Genesis and God lied. Satan said that you won't die. God said if you eat the fruit, you won't die. And you didn't die. So now what happened? That's their doctrine. That's their way of turning us into devils and themselves into God. With white Jesuses and white angels all over the place, and you think it's right. And you say, I belong to the black brotherhood or the black sisterhood, or you're a witch or a warlock. I say, when you go say, which kind of witch are you talking about? Because you're talking about me as an alchemist. You're talking about me who heals myself through medicine, but I won't go to your doctor's dressed in white. Dressed in white because of white corpuscles. Well, I don't go there, then I must be some kind of Satanist. In that case, by your doctrine, I'll be a Satanist. You know that? Because I belong to the brotherhood of God. You know why I belong to the brotherhood of darkness? Because God, as you know him, was in darkness before he created life. Now, we're going to say it first.
The doctrine.
Your Bible says, let there be light. So now, what was God dwelling in before he said, let there be light?
Darkness.
So what's the secret?
Darkness.
Light can always be defined. Can always be traced to an origin. Can always find the candle or the bowl or the sun. But that sun gives you appearance of light. As when it told you appear to go behind the building or behind the planet to give you appearance of darkness.
but it is a light within darkness, but it doesn't overcome, it doesn't overshadow the darkness. Because as you look out into the night sky, there are thousands of suns that are not bright enough to light up the night. You understand reverse psychology in the psychology of light and day? Every star you see is a sun giving off light, but you still see them as beacons in darkness. And if God is all compressed and all powerful, and he said, let there be light, then where is he? And God is brotherhood of darkness. When you make up your mind to become a God, you enter into the brotherhood of darkness. When you walk through a world as a man or mortal, you're in the world of light. Of course, Islam tells you to enter into light, and light is knowledge. Sure it is. But light is knowledge, but knowledge is to know, and knowing to facilitate things. Things you could not see in the dark. You follow that? So you click on the light, and when you click on the light, things start to happen. Things start to appear. You hear me? Chaos. Right. But we are able to dwell in
darkness.
We don't need city lights. We can get around. You take any of you people and take you into a dark room, within a couple of minutes you start to see in the dark.
That's right.
We don't need the light to see. Because we're in the dark. And when we're in the dark, it's when we created the light. And we're black. And we're here, we created that which is white. And when the light goes out, the darkness will still be here. When the white goes out, the blackness will still be here. You know what we are? We are. That's what we are. We're not A. We're not it. We're not he. We're not she. We're not they. We're not them. We are. We always were, and we always will be. There's nothing you can do to alter that system. We always will be. There'll always be one of us.
Somewhere.
No, everywhere. Because we're God. And nobody can deal with the God principle. Prove a black man ain't God. I don't have to prove to you I am God. I already said that. Prove I'm not. I'll take your life. You make me more God. I'm going to be older than you. Because I become spirit. Your God is spirit. So taking my physical life don't stop me from becoming God. You made me more like your God. Now what? Create something. I did this situation we're in right now. I created a conversation. And as soon as you tell you, brother, create something that I did, I created this conversation. I'm talking to you, nigga. But who do you got? I'm here. Which is there. When the word was said, be. I made it happen. You don't believe it because you believe Allah made it happen. Who said what? I'm your Allah. And because you admit you don't know your Allah, you can't say I'm not Allah. I mean me per se. I mean, every one of you be looking at me. You are Allah. You are God. You are Jesus. You're that Jehovah. You understand? And when you get a grip on that reality and get proud about it, oh, yeah, you're going to go, I'm going to be a nigga 50 years. I just told you I think I am God. Is that what you mean? You want me to say less than that to make you happy, nigga? That make you feel better? What do you want me to say? A little God, a minute God, a demigod? What you want from me? I'm your God. And when you start saying that thing, you say that thing before getting to your God. Is that off you? How are you going to be God? You say you Jesus? If Jesus wasn't God, Jesus was the Son of God and his Father. That is just messed up. You hear me? Go ahead, talk to me.
Okay, another 6-point star. You know how you say it can't be in front of the...
You can't put a star. In front of the moon.
What, that's a ship.
What the hook's a ship?
A star. There's not a wise man, but
there's not a ship.
A star was a ship. So I'm saying it could
involve. Yeah, but then that wouldn't be a star. It would be a ship. But the nation of Islam is not saying it's a ship. The 5% are not saying it's a ship. We're saying it's a ship. And that's how come you gave birth to the thought. Because you're one of us and you're able to perceive that. They're not a on your level, so they're not inclined to say the stars are shit. They're saying it's a star. Because Islam was supposed to be a key to pray to God. Islam was supposed to turn you into a spirit worshiper, an unseen worshiper, a law this, a law that, and don't become conscious of the God of you. They didn't work. Islam is failing. And that's all they had. The last assembly was going to be the Baha'i faith, which is more of a universal faith. It didn't work. They don't want it. They're not accepting it. And therefore, the whole purpose of the New World Order, as they had it, was to suppress us. That's why the term comes back to Brown Bill. And not anything else. It's our symbol. Jewish star, our symbol. Therefore, I'm saying the sun. The eye of Osiris, or the eye of Ra, our symbol. Over our seal. That's our sacred seal. Permanent with the eye over. We look down at the whole nation. And when you're looking at that symbol, by the way, you look at a round circle. And you got a turn again. Right? This circle represents the radiance of the sun coming down. That's what we're looking at. Coming down on the land. And God said, let me go down here. We got stuck down here. Now we got to get out of here. That's when God looked down right in front of us. Allah looked down and saw. Right in the Torah, God looked down and saw. He said, let's go down there. When we came down there, and guess what? We've been down here 6,000 years trying to straighten this man out. We came to the conclusion that the devil cannot be reformed. The scientists tried to reform him, and it did not work. And without integration, without him marrying us to him, he's having a hard time keeping your genes now, but he's bringing in Vietnamese. He's bringing all our brothers and sisters from other countries who he still has whitewashed, and he's going for a lesser gene. We call them neutrinoids. They put them on television now, and you can't tell what their nationality is, what their race is. That's neutrinoid, because he can't create a mulatto. The word mulatto means more legend, born of us. I mean us, that's an Arabic word. You with me?
Yeah.
You can't use that. We won't marry him anymore. Creating integration. It ain't working. So the man is losing his power. If he can't get into our blood, into our genes, he will die. Yes.
And your scroll, what a soul of spirit. You talked about only the highly spiritual people could see your aura. And it relates to what kind of mood you're in.
That's right.
Is there any way that you can change that aura about you or that mood? I mean,
yeah. The first thing you should understand is at one time when we said there was an aura, people thought it was fake. Now they have a thing called curly photography, right? Where people's limbs have been removed and they shot it under this camera and it picks up very high sensitive electrical impulses and they actually see the thing that was still there. They're taking pictures of people and they see different lights that are permeating from around the glands in their body, which the ancient Hindus used to call chakra and we used to call kochim. Right, which represents organs. And around it, in the socket, it has nerves that's doing it there. And it's sending impulses that makes your gland operate. Right? That impulse is giving off a slight spark of current. Those currents change colors according to your moods. You follow what I'm saying? So when a person learns meditation, they learn to bring their body to what's referred to, for lack of a better word, alpha waves. They learn to align themselves up by sitting their body in perfect. They learn to hold in perfect posture, straight up. They learn proper breathing from the diaphragm, which brings in people. You follow? And it starts to spark the chakras. And you can alter the colors of the aura. But a negative person, or a negative environment, or fear that's all barking at you, or a bill that you anticipated, or a sick relative can alter your aura and turn those energies against you and make you sick at the same time. So you have to develop a thing called psychic self-defense. That means you have to pick a color and a shape that you make your color and your shape. And whenever you start to feel this abundance of pressure, you surround, you get something that color and that shape and you focus on it. After making it a habit of sitting periodically, maybe a couple of minutes a day, two, three, you finally get to half an hour, and focusing on that shape and that color. Then you investigate to pick that shape and color up, not physically, but mentally, and store it in your subconscious mind like a brick. And whenever anything starts to get you upset, you get to step back, throw your arms, breathe, and close your eyes, and focus on that color and that object, and you will build a psychic wall that other pressures or agony can get through. And it will flip your body back to the point where you used to sit down and meditate every day. You'll find your body relaxing. I'm going to show you something that I showed you a while back. You don't know you can do this, but you can. Just relax a minute. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to relax your ears. Right? I know that sounds crazy, but you can actually relax your ears and take 90% of the pressure off the back of your ears and up here. It gives you headache. That tension gives you the bill. Ready? Just relax and let your ears relax. You might miss it the first time. You might not realize you can take the pressure off that. Anybody felt it?
Yeah.
We just relax your ears. Just go. You feel that?
Yeah.
When you're talking and you're excited, you get this muscle behind your ear. Because like, it's a bristle, you know, and it's real tense. If you put your finger behind your ear right about here, you feel the heat right there. The nerve is running by here, and the muscle is real tense. And that's result, that results in a lot of your headache, that tightness you get around your neck, that you feel like neck is stiff, is coming from your ears. But people don't know that they can relax their ears and relax their whole head. Instead of practice a whole new type of exercise. Because building your body up puts more tension on the muscles that you don't use. When I go into a gym and I grab a barbell and I put the gym on me and I start doing this, I'm developing muscles here. See all that? But I'm putting stress in here, right to my neck. But the muscles behind my ears, I don't realize I'm putting stress on that. And that's why the vein pops in your head. And that's why the blood rushes to your head. And that's why when you put it down, the world moves. We call it dizziness. But the blood is trying to circulate. And it actually throws your metabolism off. Anything that affects your ears affects your metabolism. Yeah, your equilibrium is thrown off by a liquid food in your ears. You know what I'm saying? We got to learn more about ourselves, the way our eyes work, the way our ears work, the way the organs of our body work, and not so much of what we do on the outside for appearance or what we do on the inside. You follow? Yes.
I've been in the negative witness. Passing the honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes.
And problems of having studied about Moby Dwali, haunted fasting, things that happen.
Yes. Right.
And knowing that you're a realistic man.
I can be.
And, you know, what would happen if you should leave?
What I've done is I've created a family and a friend thing. Our organization is going to survive whether I'm alive or not. I know I have a lot of energy. I mean, and the sad thing about it is, most people, same people that hurt me physically, they're not considering what I'm trying to really do. How long ago did Moby Dwali get started on this? How long ago? 19 what? Since 1913, he tried to do the same thing, but he got hindered by black people in the organization that eventually worked with the man and let him know when Noble Charlie got out of prison, right, which resulted in the prophet getting killed. And the prophet is the one that had the key. He was the one who was born a Cherokee on the Cherokee Reservation. He was the one with Native American status. He's the one who said the Zodiac Constitution that C.M. Bacon came and built upon and altered, and then Dingle came in. He wrote his own book, tried to be Noble Charlie and changed that. And that's what happened along the line, much like Nathan Islam when Allah Muhammad stepped out the way. In comes Worthy Muhammad and tries to Arabicize everybody. That don't work. And in comes John Muhammad saying, I'm Elijah's son. That don't work. And in comes Silas Muhammad saying, I'm the spiritual son of Elijah. And if I was going that way, here comes Farrakhan saying, I am the Savior God, Elijah, Elijah, and everything else. And that don't work because they didn't leave room for people to come in and make it happen. As I get before all you, I stand before y'all, and I ask you questions to feel I was in your mind, know what's going on. I address people on the internet, let them curse me out, call me names, talk to me, because I can see what our people are thinking, and then I go about solving the problem. When this came upon me about the Native Americans and stuff, I had already did a book on Noble Dwali years ago. And I went back and looked at it again and said, this man has something here. You know what I'm saying? We're not more. We're not really more. That's not what Noble Dwali was trying to tell us. He was trying to tell us that that's what they have on deeds and paper. And if you ever plan to get your rights, you're going to have to use this on deeds and paper. That's all he meant. So he said, call yourself Moorish American. Don't call yourself Muslim, because there's a man that you speak Arabic. Call yourself Muslim, because that's the English translation. You know what he was talking about? Because he said that you was a Moorish American, and then he said, Muslim. But whenever I say, Muslim, it's a Muslim, they say, What? I said, are you a Muslim? They go, yeah. I said, why are you calling yourself a Muslim if you don't speak the language of a Muslim, which is Arabic? Farrakhan is walking around with Persian names. It's not even Arabic. Why are you saying that somebody's the leader of a Muslim group and going around with Arabic names? Because he doesn't speak Arabic. So what happened? Arabs laugh at him. Jews who speak Arabic laugh at him. And downright Caucasians who study Arabic laugh at him. You understand? You don't have nobody talking about me other than my own people mad at me because of music. The music when he was Dr. York. That's all. They ain't talking about no doctrine. You ain't heard anybody stand up and say that Quran he translated is wrong. You ain't heard no Sunni say it. They go like this. You ain't seen no rabbis come out asking people on Savior's Day from New York how the rabbis are coming out and asking where the Torah. Jews, and see, I'm talking about the Coast Guard brothers with the black hats on the Jews. They're coming to the table and they're asking for that Torah and asking when is the Gifling or the Zabor coming out. You found that the people in the more signs of the first was upset. Then they got the book and realized they didn't change nothing. There's nothing I changed. What? And then they say, well, this gift came from the one you got. It means that there's more than one version out to everybody. Then we won't have no problem. And this is just one of the versions. And I got this version from a Moor. A brother sitting right there, an elder from the Moor Sinai Temple. I said to him, is this a good enough version to put out? He said, no. The copy you got is messed up, Doc. I took it in what? He said, give me your copy. He said, that's old brother right there. He gave me a copy. It was so old, I need Jesus ready. We had to piece it back together in the office. Wouldn't be just like each other. Pages cracked, who's afraid to touch it? But we made sure we duplicated everything you was in there just the way it was, because that's what he said it was. Then I sent it back with a fresh copy. Said, is that correct? He kept it for a couple of days. He said, I know you're a reader. He read it. He said, okay, good to go. Thank you, the Father, sent it. The brother here, from the Father, sent the nation of God. I said, see the letter in the pocket? You know what he's already okay. He said, okay, good to go. Said, this is it. So I'm putting it out. Said, get it to the public. Why am I doing this? I'm trying to set some damn record straight. Not to crack. You know what I'm trying to say? When I did the lesson, I said, hey, let me show you something, Farrakhan. You see these lessons? Have you really looked into what they're really saying? Or are you just proud to have your 1 to 20? Are you, do you really know what it means when it says, who is Allah? Hey, shall examine and make the only human planet of all the civilization, God of the universe? Have you taken that apart and analyzed it word for word? Because it's in English, you know. Mm. And if you were talking to God, you know, he would have to put it in English, you know. God could have put it in non-Balaji Muhammad's head in Arabic, you know. And made everybody in the nation of Islam speak Arabic with the snap of his finger, you know. So now being it's already in English, the devil's language, and we know how he plays on words, we got to raise the question. Does this make sense for this day and time? Is it still all wise, right, exact? Is it still? It may have been in 1990. It may have been in 1950. But is it right now? Because now we got computers. And we find out Africa is not 9,000 miles away from Earth. And you can swim from Africa to America. Did you know that? You can drive from America to Africa. You follow the islands all the way down to the Caribbean, all the way up to the tip. You can see straight across to America less than 10 miles. Not 9,000. So now that lesson is not making no sense. What do you mean by I came to North America by myself? What exactly do you mean? What do you mean you flew here? You came by boat? How did you get here? Well, back then in the 30s, well, there were two ways to get to America from Asia or from Arabia. One is by boat, and the other is by plane. And I know you didn't row no boat from Africa over here by yourself. And I know you didn't fly the plane over here by yourself. So you didn't come by yourself. So did you have from me like we have information when we discuss things that you ain't supposed to know. If you get put in there and you get to a certain point and you don't know, you just say, I don't know. You go back and restudy. Have y'all got to the point in age of Islam you didn't know no more? What is meant by Yahshua grafted the devil? Huh? You say Yahshua grafted the devil in the year 8,400, we find fossils to go back billions of years? What do you mean by we just asked for 59,999 years? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by we were savages? What do you mean by all Africans are savages? I mean, what do you mean with Daddy Shabazz drove us into Africa? What do you mean by that? Is it a ritual? Because we have a ritual. I can talk to one of these brothers over here, and I can ask him what happened when you meet the two Berbers in the desert. And then he'll tell me the Berbers asked you a question. I said, well, what's the question they asked you? He'll tell me the answer. I know right away whether or not he's been raised in our lodge. And the brother asked me, Freemason is baby lodge. It was only 3 degrees. We started on 9. They got it from us, from ours. I passed their school just like that. Just like that. They can't get to our school. Just simply, did they forget? Okay? Why did God make devil? The show of his power, he's all wise, light, and God. He can make a devil weaker. We can give the power of the world 6,000 years. They come in only time. Take the devil up around the strong to be the law.
Right.
That's the lesson. Am I right or not?
Right.
You know, when you analyze that, what happens? Why did God make devil? He grafted devil, not made devil. He is a made devil. And was Yaqub God? You told me Yaqub made devil. And Yaqub was a wicked man, a dissatisfied man. Women with a head the size of two men. And that while in his uncle's backyard, while playing with some magnets, he discovered that the unalike attracted the light, and he told his uncle, I'm going to make the devil weaker, we're going to give him the power to rule the world for 6,000 years. Ain't that what they talk?
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm going to ask you the question again. Why did God make the devil? Now what is it? Did God who make the devil, or did God, who the law, make the devil? There's a contradiction. If these lessons are right and exact, and they're my bond, and my bond is my life, and I'd rather give my life before my word fail, I can't get up here and contradict myself, because I'm committing suicide. And when you ask those questions, I'm not saying that their lessons are wrong. I'm saying, give us the proper interpretation, or we're going to tell you they're wrong. So I'm asking, what does it mean? Is there a code? Tell us there's a code, and then we'll leave it alone and respect the secret code. But don't tell me a 1 to 20 is a 3 mathematics and reveals itself and it's a bunch of contradictions. And that's absolutely wrong. Then there's a darn right wrong information. What happened with this stuff? How long are we supposed to live by this crap? I'm sending y'all out as sheep amongst wolves. As lambs. I'm not the lamb. We all are lambs at the Most High, but we humble ourselves. And we are willing sacrifices. Otherwise, I wouldn't speak out against every nation and every tongue of people. It said in the scriptures, every nation and every tongue shall bow. So we got to go up against everybody who ain't right and exact. But they like it or not. Yeah, I ain't gonna make you like me. I'm gonna kick in the tooth with you. And if you want a tooth with me, we ain't got no problem. We're gonna get a certain one and say, right, you're gonna say, I'm gonna do. But tooth is tooth. That's all we say, tooth is tooth. When we say tooth is tooth, it doesn't mean we have the whole truth. It means if I get with you and you got the tooth, and I'm kicking the tooth, we'll say, that's tooth. You say, that's tooth. I ain't got no problem with you, but if I'm kicking with you, I got a bunch of lies. And the best I can call is what you know what you're talking about. You think you this, and you think you that. I don't think I'm anything. Anything I think I am, I am. So if I can think I mean, I must be. Yeah, but I can prove, I can, you know, I can stand and prove who I am. Can you? The word is spooky, right? A lot of people think it means a snow cat. No, I'm going to give you a cookie, right? It's a derivative in Swahili. From the word Count that up. You'll cover something. So in Swahili, they took the Arabic word kata to cover, like they had, and called it a kufi. When in Arabic, they didn't call it a kufi, they called it a tadiya, or a taj, a crown, which represented a permanent shape cap. So a lot of brothers and sisters, again, in the Nation of Islam and Fahad, are using kufi for their crown, and they're wrong. They're all that they've done. And it's a root in Swahili from the word kata to cover something. Yes, that's Kapanoo, which they totally translated as Mr. Lima. Yes, same new word. Yeah, a farm is also called a cattle. So can you say it? Kapanoo is a corporate, it's a very good word. But it's not really a negative term. You know, if something, watch out happen. Words be another form. Remember in Arabic and Hebrew, words take form, but there were no vowels. That the Muslims do today. So the vowel is now the letter here, which is considered called Ali. Really? So this word now extends itself and becomes K-O-A-F-I-R, or because there's no vowel, it could be F-O-R. Alright? And it means to put something over something to cover it or hide it. So now, when I saw you and I say, Muhammad is the last and greatest of all the prophets, and you were once a Muslim. You said, no, he wasn't. But like Muhammad is all the prophets. I say, you can't go hunt.
Oh.
You're covering the truth. Thus, eventually, capital hunt becomes Kafiruna in the clothes of those coverers. And they call it a disbeliever, and then they say that the word for believing is not. Where is the word Mu'min or Mu'minun from a believer? This word has nothing whatsoever to do with this word, because this word doesn't even believe, this word means faith. There is no Arabic word for belief, because no Muslim is supposed to be a believer. That happens in English. He's supposed to be a knower. That's why he took his shahada and he said, what? I meant to billahi wa malaikatihi. I am meant to. Yes, amen. I have faith. But the four translators came from Pakistan, who all didn't speak Arabic, they told Arabic, they added the word believe. So they said, I meant to believe, I believe in Allah as he is. That's not what it says. It says, I meant to. In past tense, I have faith. Had faith. I meant to. When is there two on the end of a word with an I in it, I meant to. That test to, I wrote, that asked to, I sat, that up to, I studied, without a meant to. For the word I mean is faith, so put that in past English, a meant to. I faced it. And that's why they say no good translation from Arabic to English, so they make a new word. I believe. See, believe means you don't know. So how can you be a confirmed Muslim going to paradise saying you believe in Allah? You must say, I know Allah, not I believe in Allah, because belief is not. You follow me? They tricked the American Muslim with these translations. And when I pointed out, they all the brothers in America turned on me. They called me a thing. They called me a thing, but I was revealing to them in Islam that they were wrong. That somebody tricked you with a selection of words that you're directing your emotions in the wrong direction. You follow? So you get Amen. Which we will change the word Amen. Christians call it Amen. You follow that? Jews use the same thing. Amen. The same word in Hebrew. And it means that faithful. That you can put your faith in. And later on here they say, Amen. What does that mean? They don't know. Yeah, well, let me tell you, they grabbed it out of ancient Egypt and the Egyptian god. Amun, the first part of a duality with Ra. It means the hidden one. Amun, who also becomes known as Min. So Arabic, the Muslims added the word, oh yeah, the Muslims added the word Min.
and they say it means drunk, right? But you also have the Egyptian deity, I'm not going to go deep into this, but Nim, who is the deity of Roth, standing with the crown of Roth with his left hand around his spouse, and he is the source from which all life came. You see the word from? And Nim, an Egyptian word, grafted over into Arabic and became from, as in from the source of all life, of all life. Now, you see that obelisk needle over there? You got a needle over there? Go to Cleopatra's needle. I don't know why they go to Cleopatra. She didn't have one. She had a couple in fact, but she didn't have one on her. That's a symbol of the penis. The sacred rod. The third chain, the third leg, the chain. Think now, is that a joke? Serious. Well, the minaret of the mosque.
Hello.
Hello. I'm trying to make it look less like a piece of more like a minute. We have all kinds of designs here, and designs, right? And lighting, all that kind of stuff, and lighting, and new windows, and the man goes up in here, he stands up there, and he calls people to prayer. He's called a mu'azzin. The word comes from azzah to mean permission. It doesn't have nothing to do with the word to call nadi in Arabic. They say it means to call a person to prayer. Pullback. That word for call is nadi. The word azzin is permission to do something. So a man called mu'azzin, one who's got permission, Bilal, of course, get that guy, your wife gave permission, he goes up the top of a penis where the foreskin is. That's a symbol of Islam, the circumcision. Now, check the word. What does it mean, circumcision? What is circumcision? A circle. You see that? Circle. The cutting of the penis in circumcision. You know what that is? This is real. The minaret is referred to as the what? Minaret. Minaret. From the word nar. This is how it's spelled. Nar. Meaning light. A light tower, a ferro in Spanish, a ferro, a light house. Now, a ferro was men, the phallic symbol, the penis, the ruler, the source of life, the obelisk needle, the minaret, the chapel on the church, the dome of the mosque. Breast. The breast of the woman. When you're looking at a mosque, you're looking at a penis and a breast. A phallic symbol. The star coming out of here is supposed to represent the sperm seed, the germination seed. They got it from ancient Egypt, from obelisk needle. Ready? It all goes back to phallic worship. There's a Caucasian came into Egypt. Women,
yes.
I know you studied Egyptology, and you came across the part in Egypt where they showed you some of the pharaohs, and they showed you their phallic. Anybody studied it in Egypt? And they showed you certain pharaohs in the cult of Amun in Karnak. Did you notice the length of the penis? Needless to say, when the Greeks got there, and they were already, what, homosexuals, we wore an apron. We wore an apron on the front of ourselves. If you look at the picture of Tutankhamun as Osiris, when they opened his tomb, there's a black jet black statue standing on both sides with the legs forward like this. And it's jet black with gold when they draw the apron like this. Because they're looking at it from the side view and his legs coming out and foot like this. You ever seen this? And it's jet black. That's an apron that
was a badge of dignity that the priests used to cover their genitals. Stand with me? If you know what the apron really represented and where they got it from out of ancient Egypt, you know it goes back to the men's coat when they raised an apron. You know what I mean? When they raised an apron, a man was a man when he could raise an apron. You get it? All right. That symbol created the Egyptian, like the Columbus elf and everybody else, they took it out of Egyptian history, out of our schools. Muslims are still using it. Native Americans used it. The minute, that thing right there is a penis. The symbol of life. You follow that? But what is it without the woman? So when Minister Farrakhan was trying to say, we were conceived in the womb, in darkness, you follow what I'm saying? He meant that the obelisk needle goes into the cave. And that's why the word for vagina in Arabic is arham, which is the same word as rahman. The same word, you pull this over here and put an eye here, and you get the word vagina, or womb. Rahman, the same word that you form. It's Muslims, they mean merciful. And it's a chamber of life, the sacred or holy of holies in the cave, you follow? Which is the vagina of the woman. And at the doorway of the vagina of the woman stands the man in the boat. And you must stimulate his intellect to arouse her divinity. Are you with me?
Yeah.
This is your Cajun's, your Eve and serpent story in the Bible. When she was talking to the snake. Say that again. When Eve was talking to a snake. And violating the law because of her husband. You with that?
Yeah.
I could keep going.
No.
So all the symbolism that these fools are pushing around all over the place, that they're greasing them rope, was in adoration of the black woman's hips and butt and breasts and the black man's genitals. They worship our sex organs, and they do anything to make you women wear short skirts or tight skirts or blouses showing the nipples. They'll do anything to bring that out of you. They love for us to go to the beach. They go to the beach to gain the juice, and then get stimulated by you, and they go home and have sex. If they didn't use you as a sex figure, they couldn't get it up. They couldn't raise the apron. They need you, because they lure you into lustful situations. And then you young women think, because you got a nice leg, if you show your legs and be lustful, lust is luster. The glitter. You're doing it for him. You're not doing it for us. 99% of the rapists are not us. It's them. 99% of the people getting raped is not their women, it's you, by them. You with me?
Yeah.
You bring it on yourself, trying to be lustful, trying to be seductive. You think that's cute, but you are arousing what they call the sleeping serpent in him, the serpent time in the Vietnam. You understand? And then what he does is he kills me for you. What I mean by kills me is he removes my crown. He takes away my dignity. He takes away my manhood. He takes away my masculinity. You understand? And he gives you him as a hero, him as a savior, him as a policeman, him as a fireman, him as a doctor, him as a teacher. I ain't nothing but a drinking nigga who walks around looking for something to take because I don't have the ability or the skills to earn it. That's his philosophy of me and you. He removes our manhood so you can't love me. You like me, you depend on me, you need me, but you don't love me. And when I don't fit under any or all those principles, I'm a no good man. Because I can't make enough money to give you everything you need, I'm a no good man.
because I've been sexually seduced because my stimulation level is 10,000 times greater than his, and he admits it. I've been sexually seduced by the media, and you were the type of church, and therefore you, my wife, and looking over your shoulder at another woman. That's the environment and the atmosphere that's been created. I'm a no-good, no-life nigga. I'm a dog. Look, look, look. Meanwhile, you ain't helping me because you don't want to walk in around the damn tight shirt on looking so good.
Yeah,
right. That's what I'm saying? This is what they got us doing because of their desire, their love of power, their love of lust, their love of pornography. They got me and you addicted to their sicknesses. His Lord, his spirit. Really? We got to change that whole system.
Don't let them trap you on this web, like you said, we're going to be in the year 2002. That's not our calendar. We ain't no leap years in our calendar. Our calendar would start from one point to the next. I just gave the sisters, I didn't have to go to ancient calendar. The ancient calendar would consist of 19 leads this way and 19 leads this way. You'll see it soon. They're making a public way. You're going to see by the things they're doing. This ain't no, this ain't something just popping up. Our calendar is 19 leads by 19 leads. Red, white, and gold. A 1B down the center. The 10th point is the center of our year. We don't have a leap year. We ought to turn the clock back. We follow the time straight from where it went. All the way around. We got to get back on that clock. That's his calendar. Year 2000. 555 2000. We know that's in that vicinity, but that's in the Gregorian calendar. He's basing it on things of the moon and the sun, and they are changing. Because they are expanding and contracting, and it's not the same. The time is shifting. Really? Don't be letting them lock so your man said a flying car is coming in the year 2000. Don't fall for that crap. So on May 15,000 it doesn't come. Because that happened between Muslims when they tried to put me to test on the earthquake in California. I told them it's going to be an earthquake in California such a day, and it didn't come, because I said, in that year. And then they said, there's no earthquake. And 6 months later, there was a massive earthquake. Now one of them called me up and said, I'm sorry, I can say you're forcing me to use your calendar because you don't know our calendar. Once you learn our calendar, all our dates and everything will be totally accurate. As long as we're still depending on the Roman or the Muslim or the Jewish calendar, our dates can't be accurate. And who's holding that back, me or you? You gotta learn our calendar. If I'm there, then you know it. Then, believe you me, when I get to the direct date, I'm not putting no book for him like my sister said. You know what's putting the book exactly what we're going to be doing on May 5th, 2009? That's good for you. They're learning their power to eliminate us. I'm not telling them the real date. Wake up, y'all. Let's go. We found a whole meeting. So have enough sense to learn this pop thing, Daniel. I ain't talking about the 2003. That's for him. Don't you listen, I'll let you know when it's time, and you won't even have to be near me. Some of y'all see me in your dreams now. I hear me talking to you now. I will be right there and tell you, now come home. Be here now. And if you think that the demon don't come, when you get there, you're going to miss the boat. When I say come, come. I'm lying to myself. I'm making my business to touch certain people. And I'm making my business not to touch certain people. They're going to make an instant contact. If I touch you, I'm lining you up and putting you in with me so I can get to that instant down to you. And if you cut me off and you don't believe it, hey, la cum vino cum vino. You know what that means? Yeah, way out there.
Speaking of dreams and visions, I have one.
No, I say the is the key to the door to eternity. They say the key of life from the Rosetta Stone that some of our brothers fabricated to deceive them, where they translated the hieroglyphics, which is from the 36 dynasties of mixed people, of the Hittites, Phoenicians, and Hotelos. Hittites, Phoenicians, Hotelos, y'all, who moved in with us to produce the Hittite dynasty. Hittites, Phoenicians, and Romans with the Africans. They mixed in the 36 dynasties and got into our genes. Three of the 36 dynasties that they talk about re-existed back then. back then, his keys, the pump was always in the hand, like, you know this? However, without the line on the bottom, it changes into what's called a shank. It's a round circle with just a line under it, which is really the caduce. You see the caduce? The caduce is that, you see that orange and that red thing. With a writing in it, if you push that together, you get the shank. The ancient symbol that you see all the old priests on the walls of Egypt, they have the finger pattern, looks like this. Have y'all seen this thing before? In ancient Egypt? Well, this is the top part of milk. And the content, kartush, is where you write the name of God. All the pharaohs, as they call it, had their, when we see a kartush, that round thing there, when we see that, that's a name that's recorded in there of a dynasty or no. The problem is, we're in the time of Osiris again. And you have transferred the power to Osiris incarnate for us to be our link back to the spirit star constellation, and Osiris stands with the belt of Orion. The three pyramids of Khufu are set up to realign us with the Orion side, because that's how we got in here. We got to go back out the same way it went off the spirit star constellation. So the Unk, as the key, when they enter the shrine, is the door, the key to open the door from this world into the eternity. The physical world is 120 years, and the spiritual world is boundless. So the infinite side is our spiritual, and the finite side is our physical. So we hold the key to the infinite while we walk to the light of the finite. You know what I'm saying? Waiting to open the door, but every man opens the door himself. It's what they call ah. It's bar, it's car, it's bar, and it's ah. Takes its essence on that great ship and sails it into the next world. And travels in what they call the sham in English. Like his name is in his computer. And it's locked. When that thing is closed, like a star gate, if you take that kadush and close it, you can fix it. Once your name is in the kadush, you have the limit. I don't want to hold you up too long here. You have the square, the circle, and the square outside. Once the star gate is locked and the fifth element is in place, then the vortex opens. That's all. Not a complicated sign. They sound spooky. Don't believe it. They're going to happen. But these things are about. It's a lining up. That's right. And that's what Orion, or PC, as we call it, is a belt of Osiris. The Osiris, Orion, the O, and the spot, which is what they call the Earth, the horizontal, and the vertical arising of the Son of God, the Sam. They're right. It's a lining for us. That's the way, that's the passage for our elders to get through there. And that's why in the Bible, if you go to any Bible program and bring up the word heaven, you'll see that Jesus never said heaven. He said our Father who art in Orionis. Right in the Greek in the Bible. But they won't give it in Greek. But you can get a thing called online Bible, or I think it's Lotus Bible program, and go right to the Bible and go to anybody who's heaven and go heaven, and you'll see Orionis in Greek. Jesus clearly says, our Father who is in Orion, talking about Osiris. When Moses spoke about God using his finger to carve into the tablet, he was talking about Tohuti, the God Tohuti, whose short is Fuck. And Moses' name is Moses. Not Moses, not Musa, and not Moshe, but Moses, an Egyptian word meaning drawn from the water. And Moses was initiated into the order of Tahuti, those who ascribed under Amhotep. And the God, again, who wrote the tablet for Moses, was the Egyptian deity, right over there. That's him, that's called Tahuti, which they call Thoth. And when you combine Moses, you get Thothmose. You see that? That's who that was. It's an Egyptian mystery. Nothing to do with the Bible. All lies. The Torah is an Egyptian book. They can have an Egyptian book and they say, if you read that book and get our translators, you see that they have taken the section and taken out of it. Yes. Yes. saying, and it breaks off into many paths. There's going to be seven vortexes that open up. Five in the United States alone. You follow? Right, there's two others, right? That's only 2 points of the planet. Right, and that's how it's going to, the planet is off the tidal west, or the two poles. Right, north and south pole. Because the planet is on a 23 degree axis. What's happening now, the planet is starting to shift again, because it's moving back in place. Because the axis needle, which moves at a 26,000 year cycle, is causing it to wobble. And that's causing all these hurricanes and all these tornadoes and all these floods. The planet is moving back in place. And you have to know where to be on the planet not to get hurt. And one of the places to be on the planet on the map, if you can, I have the map, it's right here. Where the planet shifts, where water is passing. So what's happening here in Edenton, in Kodesh, all of the tornadoes are going right around Australia's eye. They're coming, they're starting to leave us and making, moving, actually starting down in Florida, the Florida coast, moving up towards Georgia, pass through Macon, smash up Macon, spin around Edenton, and they go into Millersville, smash up Millersville, and go north. You have to know where Wahani is. Wahani is the name of the ancient city that we went through. That Wahani is the same as inside Shambhala and Agra. Wahani, the same city. This is it above. As above, so below. This is the city above ground. And we have another one beneath us, where we go when it's no longer tolerable on the surface. And we have to know where the openings are on the planet, where we go in as a people. Sounds crazy. We did it before, otherwise we wouldn't be here. As the man said that people and prehistoric animals roam the earth, and human beings are evolution of allergies and amoebas that became prehistoric animals, and a bunch of meteorites smashed down and killed everything, and why are you still here? You're not no dinosaur, you're not no frog, you're not no turtle, you're not no, alligator. They're still here because they went beneath the water. Why are you still here? Because you went, that's right, you went down behind waterfalls because you know your masters know the opening. Those are the secrets that they keep. So sacred. Where to go when you can no longer live on the surface of Earth? Is it getting hotter? Are there more earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, diseases? So it comes a time when the family comes before their master, and their master says, let's go. And all those that heed follow the master to safety. And when it's all clear, we come back to them. Those who don't listen, they die. It's a sad day, but it's a reality. We're at that point again where the axis is shifting. The Native Americans know it. The Aborigines in Australia know it. The Aborigines right now, they have an uprising over there too. And they're trying to get all those so-called Caucasians off their sacred land. Because the Aborigines still have their barrister exam, most of them, because they were all the way over there from the migration, so over there called Australia, who went that way long before the Caucasians came and put you on yourself. They still have their barrister exam. A lot more going on in the human matter. They're about to sit writing a bunch of books that sound heavy. Believe me, the city's all ready for me out. Yes, sir. I never heard of it before. I didn't hear nothing about it. But we got to be careful when they give us their calendar. Remember, if you say July something, you know, we got to say what calendar, you know, we can get to the person. Well, what calendar was that in? Well, and what, you know, what dynasty and what known, meaning what side of the now it was on. Because each side of the now had their own calendar. See what I'm saying? You say 2012. We're jumping back into his calendar. I have to teach you your calendar. The day the first Judah, 19 by 19 B, that's the first Judah. I will make it public for you. Your father, he is trying to throw us off. So his day is, ask Dr. Melisandre, you are just exactly when the ship is coming. Now, when I answer you, I have to answer you in his calendar. His calendar is tilted because there's no first. Didn't tell anybody no first? He started on second. That's why he called the first part of time seconds and not first. So he took off the first beat and put you in the rest. In music, you have a quarter note and then you have a quarter rest. The fact that he took off the first and called the first point of time in your time a second and not a first, he has you in action of faith. He has you in limbo, God. And you have to keep altering the calendar to keep you in limbo. Let me tell you why. Because if you were monitoring time based on the day you were born to the day you died, wouldn't you have to turn your clock back or forward? Don't you still get up in the morning and go to sleep at night? Why would you have a leap year? If you started from March 1st and kept walking through time, you'd get back around to another March 1st, right? And that would be a recycle without any leap year. No 4 days or 5 days up. If you keep up with the summer winter solstice, which is split in half, and in the fourth season, which is split in quarters, you will have the whole time zone set up. You with me? That's what I was trying to say in the gospel book, practically on the calendar prayer. We got to put our time zone. We are living in his time zone, and he's not on the note. He's on the rest. That's why he has no body with him. So whenever they bring up dates, they're trying to get you to question me. So that I would say, actually May 5th, 2000. Here's the thing about that. May 5th, 2000. That is a date. Now, are we talking about within the 12 hours or on the other side of the 12 hours? You follow that? When a person gives you a prophecy to date, you still got to come down to the date, which means if we start the drum beat on June 26th at 12 midnight, are we starting from the next year or the same year? If we start it at 12 midnight, we are still in the same year unless we get in a certain amount of seconds. We got to get in a half an hour of the last hour. And we gotta break that, you with me? That we gotta get within a half an hour of the last hour and a half a minute within the last second, as they call it, to get down to exactly at that point. And if it's a vortex and it's based on concise timing, we gotta be perfectly on time. And his calendars are not. That's why they have leap year and they're dropping time and speeding up time and adding seconds. He is trying to throw you off. And with all the information that I've given you, he will try to make you find some new thing. And you become blinded by that thing. He told us such and such. What about all that other stuff? You're missing. In other words, with all the honorable Muhammad did, they spoke about sex with the secretary. And the nation of God forgot all the other things he did and started talking about sex with the secretary. And never stopped thinking the Muslim and a part of Islam could have four wives anyway. But they were looking for an excuse. The niggas are always looking for a excuse to persecute their own leaders. So if you were waiting for me to make a mistake, and I'm saying, let me give it to you. I can't tell you exactly where we're going to be and exactly what time to be there, because he will be there to stop it. You understand that? So don't demand something you really don't want. But based around everything else I'm telling you, and every prediction and prophecy that comes true, and everything you see, nobody's talking about no Mars until I start talking about it. I don't even know who El Kader was until I mentioned El Kader. So pop on a green suit and then say El Kader. El Kader's not in the Quran. Where did he get it from? Everybody is watching me. And that's why my daughter wrote that book and called me the man of the hour. Everybody's watching me. They know I know the time. You understand? I know the time. I know the time and I know the place. And I'm not telling them. And I don't need y'all to help them. You understand? Because you're not standing closest to me, this brother here. You're on the outside. You're taking a chance of missing the boat. So you want me to tell you so you know when to come running there. You don't know that? The day before. No. This is all on you. Okay. But y'all understand me by that? That's beautiful. Stop trying to get me the pinpoint for you. So he'll know what y'all are going to do. Don't do that to yourself. This is for you. This ain't for him. He got people sitting up in there right now. You got people coming, niggas sitting up in there right now working for white men.
That's right.
And they're sent here to listen to me, to find fault and get it back to make a report for him to destroy me. They're looking at me saying, that's a nigga just like me. But a white guy sent me there to hurt it. To stop them. Because they're some kind of cult. Because they want to commit suicide. Niggas don't commit suicide. Wake up. White folks commit suicide. Them don't white. The people in Heaven's Gate were white. Stop saying they are. We can open. Imagine a white guy on television saying we can pair them to Heaven's Gate. So all of a sudden I can be white. After 400 years of me trying to be white, conking my hair and bleaching my skin and everything, I'm never accepted as white. But as soon as it comes down to suicide, I can be compared to a white person to commit suicide, but I can't be compared to a white person to become the president. You understand me, y'all?
Yeah.
Y'all gotta read into that crap. It's like, oh, so we could be Heaven's Gate. We could be like a white, or we could be Jim Jones, a white group, but we can't be the Freemasons. And the more science that we try to form their own Freemason laws, and the Freemasons stop them. Hear that? Don't fall for that stuff, man. Listen, we already got it going on, y'all. It's already going on. We already got the vibe happening. Don't y'all understand? Don't let them take this away. It's already working. And when you end up, and you can bet that if our FBI or GBI come in here and listen long enough, homeboy or homegirl is going to wake up.
Right.
She's going to start saying, wait a minute. Right. Something happening here. You know how bad they are? They're as bad as we let them be. You ever heard about that? We are, they are, you don't never see them harassing the Mormons. Too many. You don't never see them harassing the Jehovah's Witness. There's too many of them. They'll harass them verbally through the media, but it does not affect your fellowship. But the first time they get an article out on that leader, whatever. Everybody turns it. The problem is all the Mormons moved there, and they took over Utah and became so powerful that they can't stop Kellogg's conflict that you're eating is produced by the Seventh-day Adventists. They own Kellogg's conflict. Kellogg himself is the one who wrote the Urantia book of the Seventh-day Adventists, who broke off from Elohim White, who became the Shepherd's Rod and formed their own thing. And the Shepherd's Rod is numbered a short term for two more kings. A Masonic expression for mayor. You understand? There's a game going on, and you ain't on the court. Now we have to make up our mind that you can't on the court or to our own court. And I'm saying, this is my fault, we put our own court. We make our own rules and regulations, and we play the game at our pace, at our sense of time. And we already got it going on. It's happening already. Who's out here saving you today? How many of you met people from London, Guyana, Trinidad, Jamaica? People from all over the world coming. And you know what's happening next year? There's going to be what? Twice as many. You understand anything about that? The black people in Edenton don't realize they need us. How many people saw the movie Seven Faces of Dr. Lau? Remember that movie? I'm going to try to get it again because a lot of y'all didn't see it. It's about a little Chinaman that comes to a little country or a little western town where a bunch of naive crackers don't like it. And he puts together a newspaper and starts putting out a newspaper about what's going on in the town because these rich men are trying to take everything from the town people. And he put together a circus, and in the circus he showed each cracker who was trying to hurt the people what they really were. And then the town people took control and ran their life in deep. That is made the doctor law was wrong. You're probably ready. That's what we look like down here. We came out of nowhere and like magic permits sprung up and wiped people bugging out. And they're saying the niggas got no food. They got teachers. They got doctors. We're not a bunch of, not a handful of niggas just came out with mad. You understand? We got the next three generations in the colleges set up already. We got fraternities springing up everywhere. We got plans. You know what that means? It means success. You follow that? Just the way we are out here preparing the land so that we will have our own. And then we put our own board together down and down. Whenever you want to do something, we have to. You have to go to no board and ask them their opinion. Just saying, that's what they've done. They in our land took over instead of laws that don't even think about. And everything we try to do, they want to block. We keep winning, they keep trying to lose, they keep losing. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah. You think they're hanging up on you?
No.
If you get our phone, it's ringing. Oh, because our phones are busy all the time. There's people all over the world. I'm telling you. How many books are the latest books have you been so far? How many of the new books didn't you finish yet? It's a figure. You got it all right. There's so much, y'all got so much to catch. I'm so far ahead of y'all right now. In information alone, y'all got so much to catch up on. And people all over the world are calling us. They call us from China because they want to translate the book into Chinese and spread the myth. This is the kind of stuff that they call us from Nigeria. They want to do it in house. They call them Ghana. They want to put it in Botswana. But check out the book. This thing is moving so fast. I mean, it's me. I keep my peace of mind in these people. Because I know it'll become multi-million population in Milwaukee. I'm not going to have time to do anything else. So I cherish my free moments at this point. I write, and I get in my car, and I drive in a circle. I go to the mother lodge, go to my top floor, and I laugh, and I joke. Anybody say a little cadet, most of them are laughing and joking, and I cut it to work. And let's go, we're off to the restaurant. Everybody with this house. I'm saying, as a 52-year-old man, I'm cherishing my last bit of freedom. Because I know that once I get this indigenous thing in place, all the rest of my life is going to be hard work and cold, constructing a nation every day. I won't have no more free time for my family or my kids or my immediate friends. I have to spend my whole day and night until I die, you know, trying to get this thing in order for y'all, so when I die, y'all die. And y'all got the formula to get the hell out of here. That's important. I can't die without giving you the formula. And I can't give you the formula so I get 24 sincere people. Anything? I don't mean sincere because they said, which, you know, yourself, their life is coming. If you have a philosophy of power, if you're a young man, if you don't have a degree, a high school diploma, you can't marry. You cannot get married unless you have a degree. Not by us. You're going to have to get a degree in something. Even a home study course. You get a degree in eating pizza, but you have a degree in something. We're demanding that you bring your educational level to a certain point so that I know that you can at least understand the books you read. See, I'm saying you ain't reading anything but what you like. So we have a system. We have a whole thing. We have a whole system. And I when I teach business conference, I train people in business conference. Then I was going to talk to them about how the business world works, how commerce works, how money works, how industry works, how marketing works, all the time. So I have a group of people. None of these guys around me are dumb. If they're dumb, they won't be here long. That's right. Because that's the only people I can meet. I refuse to give it to Warren B. Muhammad, so he can give it to the Egyptians, so he can marry me. I have sons that I'm talking, blood sons, that I don't even talk to or consider my son or daughter because they're not listening to what I'm saying for this moment. They want to call you my name. I'm Dr. Lothar York's son. I'm Dr. Lothar York's son-in-law. I'm so-and-so. And they use the name of the state girl, the good thing. And it's a long thing to do for the same time. And I don't have no time for that. If they're not 52 years old, you never know when he's going to knock. Yes. No, I teach them things you cannot find the book. I give them business strategies that always work. You know what I'm saying? Always work. When people come to me and they say to me, Pop, I got a business idea, and I'm a flat. I look at them like, why should I believe you now? And you haven't succeeded in business your whole life. Why should I, but why? You make it. Why do you need a brainstorm a day? You know what I'm saying? Every time I give you an idea, it materializes. A new idea, and it materializes. And I say, well, let me talk to me, let me find out, let me tell you what you should do. You come and give me a brainstorm, and people are like, I just give it focus, and I laugh. But you're like, I go, this is cute. You started thinking, this is cute. I couldn't do that, I just put it aside. And I hope one day that you realize I'm not the person to play games. I can read that book. You get it? I know what I'm doing. I'm not blind. I'm just real with me. I know what I'm doing. You young boys, the young women want to get out of here. Come over here and sit up under the 11 deep. You don't stay out there and think you got to figure it out. Go and get some cell cards and computer programming and home mail. Go a little silly ass crap and spraying people's hair and setting up barber shops. Give it up. Keep breaking and making things. It's bigger than that. International commerce. Hospital, prison. Everything is business. It's international commerce. You want to move out of that bracket, you got to take your own He has to take his own industry. He has to take his own market. Because his is locked. There's no place for you in his system. By the time you get your hands on a good business deal, he already been exploited it in about 6 months. Then he passed the weight down to you. That's that. You have to take new business ideas. You follow that? Not new inventions. So if you invent something, you got to pass to him. You need new business ideas which will yield inventions within inside you. So you can keep it. Good. All the people in my Rocky Mountains are what they refer to as American seniors. What do you think as stadium or what they call hollow here? How do you know that? That a trait of American Indians is hair is hollow. You know what I'm saying about that? Like this top of hollow, your hair is not hollow. Your hair is not to be hollow and it won't curl or wave. The only other place you find that is in Hexion in China. That's his strength. So when you find one with two ways to make a battle, go deep and all that, those are American Indians. Up in the Smoky Mountains, Cherokee Reservation, most of them are American Indians who marry Jews. And that's what it is. Yeah, but you're standing one. This is it. When we get down here, we find arrowheads all down here, boxing them. We're living on this out of the spirit of our ancestors who are under our feet right now listening to us as we talk. And waiting. They've been waiting for us for thousands of years. While we've been running around supporting the white Jesus and Arab Muhammad and Jewish Moses and everything but them. We made no link to them. Right? Peace in the land. Truly.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
Radio.